Well, good morning, everyone. When Bucky told me where the meeting was going to be, I was like, I don't need GPS. My stomach knows where Puckett's is. You know what I'm saying? And if it's not Puckett's, Meredith's right across the way right here. So let's open up with a prayer. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. This opportunity that you have made for each and every one of us, Lord. You've kept us from danger seen and unseen. You've brought us through trials, tribulations. Father God, we thank you for a proprietor opening up his business so that the gospel can be brought forth. That's a blessing. That's a rare thing indeed, Lord. And we just speak a blood covering over him, his family. We pray, Lord, you continue to bless every endeavor that is a part of his life. You give him everything he needs, Lord, in both the seen and the unseen. And you just continue to position him to be a light in this dark world. Father, I pray that the words that I share today are a blessing to these men and that they'll take these words and go on and be a bigger blessing to the people in their sphere of influence. Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So you heard him say I grew up in St. Louis. I had what you might call, there used to be this thing called the ABC after school special. I had somewhat of an ABC after school special type background. My mother and father from Mississippi. They met in Mississippi. My grandmother tells the story that they met and it was love at first sight, like for real love at first sight. My mother and father started dating. They got engaged and then they decided to consummate the engagement, if you know what I mean. And the day my mother was calling my father to give him the news, he said, there's something I need to tell you. And what he told her was that he had gotten someone else pregnant in addition to my mom. So my birthday is 9/30/64, September 30th, 1964. My sister Cheryl's birthday is 9/7/64. So that's a marriage that did not happen, as you can imagine. So I was raised by my mother and my grandmother in what was the largest housing project in St. Louis. And what I tell people, you all, it's not about what your zip code is, it's about what's put into you. And my mother and my grandmother were phenomenal human beings, two of the wisest, most consistent, most disciplined people. So that enabled me to start high school at 12 years old. I went to a high school called St. Louis University High School. How many of y'all know MBA down the road in Nashville? So if you would imagine MBA with priests, okay, that was my high school, all right? So it was a Jesuit, all boys, college prep high school. I went to school with the Anheuser-Busch kids, the mayor of St. Louis, and that's what really changed my trajectory. That's what helped me see what life could be like beyond living in a housing project. I loved the Jesuits so much, I went to a Jesuit college called Rockhurst in Kansas City, small liberal arts school, majored in business communication. And then right out of school, I was really fortunate. My first job was with the Federal Reserve Bank. And this was 1985, and I started off in internal audit, then economic research, and then eventually moved to Nashville in 1990 to work for a nonprofit called En-ROADS. And En-ROADS helps high school kids go from high school to college to the corporate world. And one of the people I met during that time was a gentleman named Bob Carpenter, who at that time was the CAO for Dollar General. And he brought me into Dollar General, where Cal Turner, many of you probably know Cal, was our chairman. And those two men literally, it's the reason I'm standing up on this stage. They literally changed my life. And 16 years ago, this coming Monday, will be my 16th year in full-time management consulting and then motivational speaking. And when Bucky called me, Bucky and I met at the state. How many of y'all know there's just certain people, when you meet them, you just click? You understand what I'm saying? There's nothing big said or done. It's just there's just a bond that happens. And that's just what it was with the two of us. We just bonded. And I'm cool with a lot of people. I know thousands of people, but there's just those certain people you just bond with. And Bucky, you've just always been that guy for me, man. So when he called, it didn't matter where it was. Now, it helped that it was at Puckett's. So let me go ahead and say that, all right? Let's not get that twisted. That mattered. But it didn't matter really where it was. It didn't matter when it was. I was like, hey, man, you need me to do something. I'm going to do it. So when I went before the Lord gave me this topic today of just thank God. And seven ways or seven perspectives that the Lord has given me that have literally not just transformed my life, but put me in a position to help other people's lives transform. And the first one is, you all, I got this concept that I'm not mad at anybody that goes to work to make money, to pay bills, all right? I got a son right now. He's at Morehouse down in Atlanta. His bill, this dude's bill, tax, tags, and licenses, $93,000. That's what I'm coming out of every year. So about 2 weeks ago, Bucky, he texted me. He said, "Hey, Dad, I met with my advisor, and I'm coming out of school in the spring." I am not, yeah. My wallet literally opened my back pants pocket, flew out, and just said, "Hallelujah!" Like, what? Thank God that boy's coming out of school. But y'all, I know what it means to go to work and have to pay bills. But what the Lord gave me is, what's your legacy gonna be? And the crazy thing about legacy is your legacy has nothing to do with you. Your legacy is all about how the people around you, the people in your sphere of influence are doing, how they're living, how they're coming along. Y'all, I want you to think about something. When I tell you I'm from the large, how many of y'all remember the Spinks brothers, Leon and Michael Spinks? Anybody remember them? All right, so they grew up one housing project down from me, all right, in St. Louis. I used to date their cousin, and I always say she didn't look nothing like them. You just got to believe me. Believe me when I tell you that. But y'all, for me to go from there to standing right here in the middle of Franklin, Tennessee, y'all, that's nothing but God's grace. But can I tell you something else? That's Martin Luther King's legacy. That's what that man bled for. He died for this moment. See, so if you're going to work to pay bills, I ain't mad at you. If you're going to work to have a nice retirement account, I ain't mad at you. But I believe if you go to work with a legacy in mind, how will my time on this earth, I don't care if you're 46, 66, or 86 years old, how will my time on this earth transform the lives of other people? You got a whole new job. Your level of resilience is going to be totally different. Your ability to deal with things that don't make sense is going to be totally different because you're not just living to make a paycheck, to make a buck, to get a title, to be a VP, to have a nice house, a nice car. You're literally living your life every day you show up to work to drive change that's going to have an eternal impact on somebody's life. See, I believe everybody in this room, if there's 100 of us in here, we all have a very unique impact that God designed for us to make. That's your legacy. My wife and I have 4 children. My wife, she's originally from Nashville. She went to St. Cecilia High School there in Nashville. She went to Spelman College in Atlanta, and she got her master's at Vanderbilt. I don't know if there's any guys in here that are not married and want to be. I'm going to give you my whole marriage workshop, so pay close attention. Marry up. That's it. That's the whole thing right there. That's all I'm going to tell you. That's how you do it. And that's what I did, man. Well, you meet my wife, you know there's a God. You be like, yeah. Oh, yeah, that brother didn't get her without the Lord, right? But my wife is a chaplain at Centennial Hospital. I could probably be a chaplain for about a week. I couldn't do that job. She has to deal with when babies die, when significant family members pass on. She has to deal with people who are believers and who are not believers, and everybody in the middle. But what we tried to raise our kids on is not what do you want to be when you grow up. We never asked our kids that question. We always said, what do you feel the Lord is calling you to? What's your calling? What's that larger impact you've been equipped to make in the earth? Look at your life and your experiences. And here's the crazy thing. The good ones and even what? The bad ones. How many of y'all are old enough now to see how those bad experiences, you hated them when you went through them. You couldn't believe you were going through it, but you look back now, you go, I get it now. So I believe everything that happens to you, good, bad, and indifferent, is designed to help you fortify yourself so that calling will come alive. That unique impact you're supposed to make will come alive in your life. I don't say this to be mean, and I don't say this to be elitist. I feel bad for somebody who wakes up every day without a calling. I feel bad for somebody who wakes up every day with no legacy they're living for. Y'all, I grew up in the worst part of St. Louis. Listen to me closely. I grew up in the worst
part of St. Louis, I don't know one person that ever committed suicide. We just had an 11-year-old at my church take his own life. 11. Y'all, it's a new day, man. People are waking up so purposeless, they don't know what to do. And I'm not talking about anybody from any particular race, creed, color, or address, zip code. It's everywhere. It's permeated our society. So when Bucky told me that Puckett's is opening its door for some men of God to come together and be men of God, I was like, yeah, man, I'm coming to that. Now, I got to tell you, I wasn't always like this. When I came to the Lord, I came to the Lord at an Amway conference. Anybody here ever been in Amway? Group this big, at least 20 of you been in it. Yep, hey, it happens, man. And here's what I'll say. I ain't make no money, but I met the Lord. You see what I'm saying? So Amway, you can't talk bad about Amway around me. But man, when I came to the Lord, y'all, I was a dude. I tell people, if you look at my website, my bio, there are no letters behind my name except dude, D-U-D-E. All right? I am straight up dude. And I've been saved maybe, I don't know, a year and a half. And my wife, who was my girlfriend at the time, she said, there's this men's conference down at First Church of the Nazarene downtown. I think you ought to go. And I said, men's conference? I ain't going to no men's conference. Bunch of men standing around hugging each other. Not me. So she prevailed with me. She pushed. And I wound up going to the conference. It was a Friday night, Saturday morning deal. The event on Friday started at 7 o'clock. You know what time I got there? 6:58. And I literally walked along the wall because I didn't want nobody hugging me. I went and sat at the top row, back middle seat. And the speaker that night talked about this guy named David. I never heard of David. I didn't know nothing about David. And as this man wove through this message, and he got to the part of talking about some of the stuff David had done, and I thought, man, I've done some rotten stuff, but I ain't done nothing like that. And then I heard him say that he was a man after God's own heart. I don't know. It was like a sunburst. Something just happened in my spirit. And he finished his message, and I still waited until every single person was just about gone. You cannot understand how I was so anti-hugging. Next morning, program started at 9 o'clock. Y'all know what time I got there? 8:58. Same thing. Kind of scooted in, made my way, sat in my same seat. And the man that morning talked about this guy, Saul. Tarsus. So, what is Tarsus? Is that not a car? I don't even know what that is. The heck, Tarsus? And he talked about this encounter this person had. He talked about how he had been an accuser, just a violator of the rights of people who had anything to do with Christ. And how this same dude wrote most of the New Testament. That's the first time I'd ever heard about Saul. First time I ever heard about Paul. When the speaker finished, I left my seat and I walked down and I was hugging everybody. Love you, man. Love you, man. This is great, man. Praise the Lord, brother. Praise the Lord. Y'all, I'm going to tell you something. You know this, but don't ever forget it. Sometimes you can get so comfortable in your Christianity, you forget there are people who don't even know who David and Paul are. I'd hate to see what would happen if they did a quiz on the Ten Commandments. Y'all, sometimes as believers, we get so comfortable because we've been walking with the Lord for a long time. We've seen how the Lord works in our lives. We know the Lord. And you can almost forget that there are people who have no idea what you have access to. They have no idea. The second thing I learned through my years of working, and I've always worked with the C-suite. I've always been a guy that worked with around C-suites. That's just from day one as an auditor, as a 20-year-old internal auditor. So I've always been able to watch how the big shots roll. how the big shots get down. And one of the things I saw early on as a young man is that big time people have a support network. It boggles my mind how the frontline folks, how people in the middle of the organization were doing everything on their own, everything in an isolated situation. But all the people at the top were surrounded. When I met Cal Turner in 1994, Mr. Turner was worth a reported $1.2 billion. Now, y'all, I'm from the hood. So if somebody is worth a reported $1.2, you know they really got about $4.2. You understand what I'm saying? And y'all, Cal Turner's office was a revolving door of coaches, counselors, advisors. And what dawned on me is, if a man worth $1.2 billion is surrounding himself with advisors, what do I need to be doing? So that's just something I just say to every man. Y'all, I'm no expert, I'm just a dude, but y'all, I think the number one killer of men is isolation. Isolation, man, it gets its thumbs down in your windpipe and just slowly chokes you out. Who's a part of your support network? Who's in that room with you that you can say anything to and they aren't going to judge you? They aren't going to look down at you. Who's in that room where you're never going to feel any sense of embarrassment? I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's your sexual life. I don't care if it's your financial life. I don't care if it's your beliefs maybe have been rocked by some bad thing. But who's in that room with you that you can open up to, that you can share things with, that you can confide in? I believe this, the enemy's, his goal is to keep us separated. He knows that if I can just keep them separated, that's half the victory. If I can just get him alone by himself long enough where he won't open up, he won't share, he won't talk, he won't confide, I know I can slowly just drag him off into the bushes and just take him out one blow at a time. I watched executives who tried to do it alone versus executives who did it with a support network, and there's not even a comparison. There's not even a comparison. So I just ask you, brothers, today, who's in your support network? I don't care how wealthy you are. I don't care how well-established you are. I don't care how excellent you are in what you do, y'all. We all need a support network. God designed us to be interdependent like that. The third thing that I found that has really been a blessing to me and has put me in a great place is that I am a very sensitive person. Now, any of y'all remember that little cartoon, The Barney Show? Anybody remember that? The kids program? Hi, I'm Barney. I am basically Barney. If you cut me open, I'm a big old purple dinosaur up here. I am probably the most sensitive person in this room. I'm sensitive. I know I am. Always have been. But by the same token, I want to have a legendary impact on this world. And I know I've never seen a person be great without hard feedback. The only people who get to walk through life without hard feedback are the owners and the children of the owners. Anybody know what I'm talking about? When I was at Dollar General, I had a really good run. Bob recruited me. Bob was my mentor. I got 4 promotions in 7 years. My income went up by 10x. It was a blessing, man. Changed my life. And I was in charge of leadership development at Dollar General. So I work with everybody all over the organization, every division, every department, every level. And I'm a guy, I was put on this earth to coach and help people be great. That's what God made me for. That's what I do. So people were always coming to me into my office. Hey, let me run something by you. Hey, D.Y., I need to talk to you. Hey, man, I need some help. So that was no big deal. Well, one day I'm sitting in my office, minding my own business, and a guy from another department, he wasn't on my team, but I worked with him. I had coached him up. I knew him. He came in my office, and Blair, it wasn't that he came in my office, it was how he came in my office. So he comes in, he didn't have like an appointment, he just walked in, he didn't knock, hey, D.Y., are you busy? He just walked in, and he had this real crazy look on his face. And then he put both his hands behind his back like this, and he starts slow walking my door closed. Now I'm sitting at my desk hiking up my pants leg like, hey, man, don't get this suit twisted. Boy, I'll come up out this chair on you. Don't get it twisted, man. He sat across from me. He goes, D.Y., what are you doing? I said, man, what are you doing? He goes, dude, every time I look up, you're getting another promotion. Like, what are you doing? And I was like, whoo, okay, nobody has to die today. I said, man, you want to know how I'm getting all these promotions? Yes, I do. I said, it's seatbelt sessions. What? What? Seatbelt sessions. I said, every quarter, I schedule a meeting with Bob. I sit in his office, and I ask Bob one question. Bob, what do I need to fix? And for the next 30, 45, 60 minutes, Bob hits me with straight-up facts. He hits me with conjecture. He helps me with my blind spots, things that I don't see that other people see. He shares flat-out lies people have told on me. That's why I call it a seatbelt session, because I'm so mad, I'm so frustrated, I put on that imaginary seatbelt to keep me from going off. I said, but at the end of the conversation, man, I take that seatbelt off, and I take my little battered emotions and my little hurt feelings, and I do three things. I said, I try to do everything Bob said, and I start with the stuff I hate the most. I said, then when I have success with Bob, with what he told me, I thank him profusely. And then if I have success with what he told me, I teach it to other people. I said, I think that's how I got all these promotions. My daughter's 27 years old. She's a phenom of a human being. She's a junior version of her mother. She lives in Los Angeles. She wants to be married. She's looking for the right guy. And I said, Kayla, if you meet a guy that cannot take hard feedback, that ain't your guy. That ain't your guy. Because a man that cannot take hard feedback ain't going to be a man very long. He's going to move in some avenues, some lanes that ain't good for him. Not because he's not smart, not because he's not talented, but a dude that cannot take feedback. That's a scary dude for me. I have one book. I released a book in 2020. It's called Make My Hindsight Your 2020. And the concept behind the book is most everything, I'm at the end of the baby boom. So most everything in America is written for baby boomers to understand younger people. And that makes a lot of sense. But I thought, what about a book for younger people to help them understand baby boomers, since most of what we have in America was formed, shaped, built up by baby boomers? That's the concept of the book. Well, my second book I'm working on right now. And the title is deep, so I want to give you a second to catch it. Be nice. It's the title of the book. It's Be Nice. Y'all, I told you I'll be 60 in September. Does anybody in this room remember when two people could have diametrically opposed views? I don't even really know what diametrically opposed means, but I know that you always say it in front of views. You know what I'm saying? They could have diametrically opposed views. They could discuss those views. You know what they could also do? They could argue about those views, and they still be good with each other. Anybody remember that? Is that just me? I remember those days. Now, I'm old enough to remember when I could go home at night, and there would be a man on the television, and he would tell you what happened and let you make up your own mind. Anybody remember those days? I'm just saying, that's just me, man. Y'all, I don't know what happened in America. I'm going to say this again, y'all. Whatever you think is a bad neighborhood, that's where I grew up. I don't remember one incident of road rage. I was driving back from Chattanooga the other night. This guy rode my tail for like 15 minutes. I'm like, can you not see the truck? Blowing his horn like, y'all, what is wrong with people? Y'all, I would never tell somebody to be nice to get something. That ain't my vibe. You ought to be nice because you should be nice. There's a scripture that says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also what, y'all? Reap. Can I tell y'all something? I don't believe that. I know that. That's beyond belief with me. I know it. I've lived long enough to see how those seeds you plant, because you're doing it because it's right, you're doing it out of the genuineness of your heart, the Lord can't help but bless you. He can't help himself. I say this, and I don't say it to brag. I say it to make the point. I get so much free and reduced stuff. It is mind-boggling. And all I'm doing is just being nice. I'm not doing anything deep. HCA is one of my clients. HCA hired me to do a keynote out in Vegas. And y'all know HCA. HCA, what I call high test. That's a term from the 70s. HCA is high test, man. Everything they do is elite. So they fly me out, and the talk is at the Ritz-Carlton. Now, y'all, there's a saying I use. You can take the boy out of the projects, but you can't take the projects out of the boy. I still get excited renting a car. Some of y'all probably can't even relate to that. Oh, they let me drive this by myself? This is awesome. So here I am going out to the Ritz-Carlton in Vegas. Now, on the outside, I have my Derek Young motivational speaker. But on the inside, I'm like, this the Ritz, man. Wow. I walk in and I get in line, and sure enough, I'm standing behind another gentleman. It's pretty obvious his room isn't ready. And he is going off. You would think this the rates of his name and the recognition, and he was just snapping. And the young man behind the counter, I started watching him. And he was listening, and I watched his body posture and his eye contact. And then it was his turn to talk. And he hit that man with what I call the double hand clasp. Sir, y'all, this young man, he took him over here and said, you have every right to feel like that. Then he took him over here. Clearly, you're one of our valued clients. Then he took him back over here. It is just not acceptable that your room is not. And the whole time he was talking to the man, he was like, he was putting him in like a little hammock. He was just rocking him like a little baby. He just was rocking him to sleep, just rocking him. And by the time that young man was done, that guy walked away. He just flitted off. He just left. So I walk up and I was like, dude, I said, that was amazing. He goes, oh, no, no, sir. I said, no, that was awesome. I said, first you took him over here. You let him know how he felt. I said, then you took him back over here and you let him know that was unacceptable. Then you brought him down here and you let him know how you were going to make it better. I said, dude, are you a trainer? Do you teach? Oh, no, sir. I said, well, listen, man, that was awesome. He goes, sir, how can I help you? I said, I'm checking in, last name Young. He goes, ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. I don't know if there's really any keys down there, but you make that sound. I just think it's like a recording, right? It's just ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. And he looks, and then he looks at me, and he hits me with the double hand clasp. Mr. Young, unfortunately, your room is not ready, but can you give me a second? I was like, okay. So he goes to the back, what seemed like 90 seconds or so. And he comes back out, and he gives me this look. Mr. Young, as I said, unfortunately, your room is not ready. Would it be okay if I put you in the presidential suite? Now, on the outside, I said, that would be fine. But on the inside, heck yeah, woo! What? Yo, I reached for my luggage. That young man, he came from around. Oh, I'll be taking that, Mr. Young. He walked me to the elevator. We get on the elevator. Now he's quizzing me. So I see you're a speaker. You're going to be a speaker for the conference? And people go, yes, yes, yes. Y'all, we get to the 10th floor, I think it was. The doors opened. All I heard was boom. Then I thought I heard some harps playing. Fring, fring. I saw a dove. It's like, where am I, man? We go down the hallway. These doors, each door had to be 3 feet wide. It was a double door. The doors were so big, he had to bend over to push the doors open. We walk in this suite, and if I remember right, his suite was 2,700 square feet. That's bigger than my house. The young man starts touring me around the suite. 4 bedrooms, 4 bathrooms, 2 kitchens. Now, while he's touring me, I got my suite mode on. Oh, this is fabulous. This is excellent. He finishes the tour. I go to my wallet to give him a tip. I was going to give him everything I had in my wallet. And he goes, no, sir, sorry, cannot accept gratuities. Sir, I'll be on until 2 a.m. At that time, Eric will be taking care of you. Good night. And he walked out and he closed the door. Well, of course, you know what I did. Do, 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 do. Mama, 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 you're not going to believe it. Y'all, you're never nice to get something. But you can't help but get something when you're nice. I'm going to say a few more things, and I'm turning back over to Bucky. I have a very good friend. He's one of the elders at my church. He's the guy everybody else goes to for prayer, help, support. He's that guy. So I've always tried to kind of keep an eye out for him. And back in 2021, I do a theme. And my theme in 2021-22 was to deepen my core friendships and to become more intense about the stuff I enjoy. That was my focus. So I got season tickets to Nashville Soccer Club because I love soccer, and it gives me 5 hours with one person to just build a bridge with. So I took my friend to a soccer game. He'd never been to a soccer game, didn't really know soccer. And if any of y'all have been to the Nashville Soccer Club with the season tickets, it's outstanding. They have a nice restaurant, and then you go and watch the game. So we're eating before the game, and he goes, Brother Derek, he goes, man, I've been knowing you 20 years, and I don't think I've ever seen you be down. What is that about? I said, well, man, it's basically the grace of God. I mean, that's the answer. Okay, that's the answer. It's God's grace. That's really the answer. But the bullet points, I said, I developed a concept a number of years ago when I was working hard and I was exhausted. And the concept is if you take a break before you need a break, you'll probably never need a break. And you probably won't break. I said, I've been rocking that for 30 years, man. I said, the second thing is, my family, we were not a religious, a church-going family, but my people were very moral people. And my mother used to quote the Serenity Prayer all the time. And I said, I do not extend energy on things God doesn't want me to be involved with. I might talk about it a little bit. I'll talk about it if you want to talk about it. But I'm saving my energy for the stuff the Lord wants me to do. And then I said, the third thing is, man, I know a lot of people. They work hard, they're task-oriented, they're get-it-done people, and they work, and they look up, they're 60, they're 80 years old, they got a bunch of cash, got a nice fat crib, they got to retire, they got a lake house, but they have no joy because all they did was work, task, do it. I said, dude, I try to extract joy out of every single interaction I have every day. Then my friend starts crying. I was like, oh, man, I wasn't trying to make it a coaching session, but he asked me. So I said, man, let's go on down to the game. So we go, and if you hadn't been, they got these big coolers with water and Cokes and beer, whatever you want, and you reach in there. I go, what are you drinking, man? He goes, give me a water. So I toss him water. I grab two waters and two Cokes. Now, my friend is a very generous person, but he even kind of gave me that, wow, D.Y., it's pretty greedy, aren't you, man? I mean, you could have come back. He doesn't say anything. He just gives me that look. So we go down to the field. I got some really sweet seats. I'm on the second row at about the 20-yard, right outside the 18-yard box. Great seats. So I go, hey, man, we're in those seats right there, row 2, seat 19 and 20. He said, where are you going? And then I went and I took my one water and my one Coke and handed it to the security guard, like I do at the beginning of every game, at the beginning of every halftime. Now, y'all, you might say, that ain't no big thing. It might not be a big thing to you, but it's a big thing to me and that security guard. When I came back to my seat, my friend, he was going, that's what you meant by extracting joy, isn't it? He started crying again. Y'all, listen, I'm going to say it again. Thank you, brother. I mean, I've always been a fan. I told you of Puckett's. Now my fandom for Puckett's is on a whole new level based on your generosity. So God bless y'all.